Yeah, first service, it was crickets. And you guys are like at least polite about it. You're like, happy new year. I know we're just coming out of 2020 and you're a little gun shy about what's going to happen. Thing is, though, just like in 2020, as hard as it is, we don't know what this year has in store for us, but we do know that the Lord is present, that the Lord is with us. In fact, the series that we're starting today is very much about how God is at work in the days in which we live for his glory and our good. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation. I know, some of you go, oh, it's the worst. Because I used to think Revelation was the worst of the 66 inspired books by God. I thought it was the worst one. The worst one because Because I misunderstood what it was fundamentally about, and I was turned off to it by the people that really, really liked it. And that's how it is for a lot of things, right? Like, there are things that you don't know how good they are. For some reason, you've turned against them. You've said, I don't like it, without truly understanding what it is, like The Mandalorian. So The Mandalorian is a TV show on Disney Plus. So if you don't know about The Mandalorian, don't worry about it. But it's real popular, and I was not interested in it for a couple of reasons. One, it's a Star Wars universe thing. And even when I was a kid, I liked Star Wars, but I wasn't crazy about it. And there were certain things that I really didn't like about Star Wars, the puppets and the Muppets. Hated that stuff, didn't like it as a kid, don't like it now. No time for Muppets. And this Mandalorian show has Baby Yoda. And I was like, that's dumb, I don't care, hate Baby Yoda. I don't want to have anything to do with it, not going to watch it. Until Brian Malcolm told me, no, The Mandalorian is a Western. It's fundamentally a Western. I was like, oh. And turns out, I had misunderstood what it was all about, and I love The Mandalorian. I even kind of like Baby Yoda now. So, and I know he's not Baby Yoda, but that is what people call him. So, sometimes we don't understand what something is. We've got preconceived ideas, or sometimes the people that are super fanatical about a thing can turn you off to it. The book of Revelation is sweet and satisfying and is fundamentally about Jesus. So let me tell you this on this series. If you're hoping and jonesing for graphs and charts and end times complexities, you are going to be dissatisfied with this sermon series, because this sermon series focuses on what the book of Revelation actually focuses on, which is Jesus. We're going to look at three verses today just to tip our toes into the very warm and comfortable water that is the book of Revelation. We're going to go slow and easy on this first sermon. I'm going to turn up the heat next week. I'm going to go slow and easy for this one because I want you guys to recognize that, wow, you know what? We can read and understand this book that more than likely most of us have been neglecting. Listen to Revelation chapter 1:1-3. And this is what I want you to consider, because this is what we're going to see in these verses, that the book of Revelation was given so that we might know and follow Jesus. Now, I know that sounds super basic, pedestrian, right? Pretty simple. Isn't every book of the Bible written for that? Yes. Yes, it is. But for some reason, we think Revelation is different. It's not really about that. So we've got to recapture this basic principle. The book of Revelation was given so that you might know more deeply and follow more closely Jesus Christ. Listen, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. It is clear. It is true, and you have given us something that we can understand, so we pray that by your Holy Spirit we would not only properly interpret it, but that we would receive it and act upon it, that we might know and follow the Savior more closely because of it. In his name we pray. Amen. The book of Revelation was given so that you might know and follow Jesus. The book of Revelation was not given for you to know and figure out end time events. It's not why it was given. It wasn't given for you to obsess over conspiracy theories and 5G and who's the beast in this. Biden, is Biden the beast or is he the false prophet? I don't know who, was Trump the Antichrist? Like, it's not about that at all. Weirdos have hijacked this book and misinterpreted it in 1,000 different ways so that a lot of Christians are turned off to even opening up to the last book in our Bibles. It is fundamentally given that we might know and follow Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to look at the specific theme of this letter or this book next week. For now, I want you to see that it is like every other book of the Bible in that it's given to us to know Jesus. So, first of all, we're going to ask and answer this basic question, what is the book of Revelation? And then secondly, why is it? Why do we have it at all? After we answer those questions, we can then begin to dive into what we should do in response to this book as we're kicking off this series. So, number one, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It says in the top of my Bible, the revelation to John. Right, so first of all, this is a revelation. Now, you kind of know what a revelation is, right? When something is revealed, it is put on display. In fact, this word revelation is a translation of a Greek word. And the Greek word apokalypsis is where we get our word apocalypse from. And you say apocalypse, and all of a sudden revelation gets scary. Right off the bat, apocalypse. Oh my goodness, apocalypse is a bad thing. It's the apocalypse, it's the end. You think zombie apocalypse, right? You think end times, hellfire, worth the earth crumbling and shattering and falling apart. Not that those things aren't important and even aspects of this, but that's not what revelation or apocalypsis means. It simply means uncovering. That's what it means. It's an uncovering, it is a revealing. The book of Revelation reveals something, and it's revealing Jesus. Again, it's the revelation in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this means two things. Number one, it means that this is a revelation that belongs to Jesus. It's his revelation. Now, of course, we know why, just in reading this first verse, that it's not simply his, like his authority in heaven and on earth. It's something that he receives from the Father. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. So it is his revelation given to him by the Father. And if you actually read the rest of this, right, in these first three verses, we see that it's the Father giving this revelation to the Son. The Son then gives it to an angel who then gives it to John, and John gives it to us, the church. So yes, it is Christ's revelation. He's the owner of it, but more importantly, he is the subject of this revelation. It's about him, fundamentally. It's about him, who he is, and what he does, and what he's going to do. In fact, here's just a simple way for you to just kind of keep it in your mind. Revelation reveals the Redeemer. Just string the R's together so that you are reminding yourself as we're going through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, all the way through, you've got to keep in mind this is fundamentally about Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation will tell you who Jesus really is. In light of his life, death, resurrection, and plans. It'll also tell you what Jesus is doing. Not just what he did, but what he is doing today. What Jesus is doing in the world, in your life. How he is equipping and empowering and accomplishing great things. Even when it looks like everything around you is falling apart. And yes, it will also tell us what Jesus is going to do in the future. There is an eschatological or end times theology aspect to the book of Revelation, of course. You can't have a fully developed Christian faith. You can't have a healthy Christian faith without eschatology. A part of our faith is looking forward to when Jesus Christ returns. What is it? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is about him, given to his servants, right? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. This is given to the church, but the church, made up of Christians, we are referred to as slaves or bond servants or servants. Now, sometimes people get all wrapped up in the word here and they sort of trip over the forms that slavery or servitude have taken over the centuries, right? There are just forms of servitude, and then there is slavery as we practiced it here in our country, which is immoral and ungodly. But the point that's being made when Christians are called servants or slaves of Christ is that we belong to him and we obey his will. That's really the emphasis. We trip over sort of the forms that it has taken, but the point that's being made here and throughout scripture as we're referred to this is that we are called to be obedient followers of our master. Now, Paul refers to himself in Romans 1:1, for example, but throughout his epistles, he refers to himself and fellow Christians as bondservants or servants of Christ, because this is how we are supposed to relate to Jesus, at least in part. I mean, how do you relate to Jesus? Friend? Advisor? I think most of us relate to Jesus as advisor, right? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do here? Yeah, I'm not doing that thing. No, that sounds way too hard. I'm not about to do it. We treat Jesus oftentimes like he's a friend. Or maybe we look at him as a savior who doesn't really compel anything from us. As we read the book of Revelation, recognize followers of Christ are his servants. How do you conceive of your relationship with him? It's multifaceted. It's not just that of servant. It is friend as well. But we cannot divorce this aspect of who we are and who Jesus is. The revelation of Jesus Christ is a revelation from Jesus. It's a revelation about Jesus. But it's a revelation for us. We need it. You need this book of the Bible. How many books of the Bible do you think you need? 66, right? You need all 66, but we act like we don't. Because we avoid it. Don't we avoid? We avoid the book of Revelation. It's hard. It's complicated. It's got numbers in it. I'm not down with numbers. Everybody knows I'm terrible at numbers. I don't want to have it. I don't have to do math? Okay, fine. I can handle these numbers then. It's like, it's visions and imagery. It's apocalyptic prophetic literature. And most of the rest of the Bible is like poetry and epistle or like letters or narratives. This is different. But let's receive it for what it is, the revelation of Jesus Christ given to us. Now, why is it? We talk about what it is. It's this revelation of Jesus. Why is it? Why do we have it? Okay, so the Father gave the Son this revelation to give to John, to give to us. But why? Why do we need this? You see, every book of the Bible was written with an agenda. It was given to address specific needs or issues, right? So you look at, Paul writing to the church in Rome, and he's like, man, I haven't been there, but I love you guys, and I want to just exhort you guys, and I want to tell you more, and I want to unpack some theology for you. Or maybe even easier to sort of grasp is 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Paul has to write to the church in Corinth because they are messed up. They've screwed up in some big ways. So he's like, all right, I'm writing to you guys because you did some sinful things. You've made some bad choices. You've tolerated sin. You're not following Christ in your assembly in the way that you should. So he issues corrections, and he's trying to see this church turn a corner back towards full faithfulness. So why do we have the book of Revelation? Because Revelation isn't any different. It was given to address a specific need. Well, before we even answer that, let's just take a step back. We can see that it was written by the Apostle John. but it was written by John or recorded by John while he was exiled to an island. Look at chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So we'll get to that later, but let's just take note. John was on an island, and it's not like one of those islands with palm trees and hammocks, and he's like drinking coconut water. He's like, yeah, this is nice. This is a rocky, barren island that he was sent to as punishment for preaching Jesus. He sent out to this rock to live on, to get burnt to a crisp. And while he is there suffering for his ministry, for his faithfulness to Jesus, this is when Jesus gives him a revelation that he is supposed to give to the church. But notice this, and this is going to be important for us as we're going through Revelation. John says in John 9, I am your brother and partner in the tribulation. Present tense. See, most people that are super into the book of Revelation like to talk a lot about the revelation, about the tribulation in the future. Tribulation is something that happens in the future, and according to many, like, well, then you could be pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. Like, there's all these views on, like, where is the church going to be when the tribulation happens, and is Jesus going to secretly come back and, like, sneak us away so that then tribulation can happen? Like, all of that stuff, people get all wrapped up in the tribulation. But let's just first notice this. The first thing we learn about the tribulation is that it's present. It is John's reality. It is the church's reality. He is writing to the church, or he is recording this. This revelation is given to the church going through tribulation. So he says, I'm your partner in the tribulation. I'm your partner in the kingdom of God, and patient endurance that are in Jesus. I'm with you guys. We're in this together. So John is exiled onto this island. He's given this revelation for the church that is experiencing tribulation, persecution. And so what we learn here is that there are things that Jesus needs to address. John isn't sitting there thinking like, you know what? I need to address some problems that the church is going through today. It's Jesus that wants to address us. So what is the real purpose then of this letter, this revelation? Back to verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. So, in part, we know that Jesus wants to address the church about things that are about to happen, not things that are way off into the distant future that bear no relevance to the church alive during the time of his writing or revelation. Things are happening and are about to happen that the church needs to be prepared for. So there are things that are soon ready to take place. And Jesus wants us to be ready. Now, what's about to take place? Fundamentally, what we see is that there are things that are going to be happening in the world, and there are things that God himself is going to be doing in the world through Jesus Christ and the church throughout the entire history of the church. This is what the book of Revelation is ultimately giving us. The things that the world is doing, yes, more importantly, all that Christ is doing in the world through the church. Revelation is about Christ accomplishing his post-resurrection work through the church. He wants to prepare the church to persevere. The reason the revelation is given to us is to prepare us to persevere through tribulation, difficulty, persecution, life in a broken, dying, aggressive, evil world, we need preparation in order to persevere. That's why it's being given. Next week, we're going to talk about the theme of the book that ties it all together, and we've been hinting at it along the way. But so just for now, I want you to keep in mind that God is preparing his people to persevere through their life, their years, their generation. In other words, Revelation is not about the last year of existence on this planet. It's about every year since Christ. It's about every year that the church has lived and persevered, where God is active in and through his church for the glory of Jesus. See, God always offers help. He doesn't just say, all right, it's going to get bad. It's going to get really ugly. 2020, it's going to get ugly. Good luck. He doesn't do that. He equips and prepares and offers strength and assistance to his people. He readies us for whatever is next, but you have to accept the help. That's what Revelation is. It is help for you to persevere through this year, through your life. This is why it is. Because the church needs divine assistance and a divine perspective of what's happening. We need assistance to not just white knuckle it and crawl our way through the hardships that come with following Jesus. We need strength to persevere in faith and godliness, even if we get exiled on an island. And we need a divine perspective that helps us to rightly understand everything that's happening in this world. So, if what it is a revelation of Jesus and what he's doing in the world through the church, and if why it is all about the fact that we need divine assistance and help to persevere, what do we do with this book that most of us have neglected for most of our Christian lives? Now, some of you have been good students of the book of Revelation, and you're going to be an asset to others around you. Others of you are going to have to unlearn some of the things that you've wrongly concluded about the book of Revelation because you've read the wrong books. If they're a series of fiction books, you've been reading the wrong books. So, no hate, just saying, those are not good interpretive guides to Scripture. And the movies are worse, so just for what it's worth. So what do we do? How do we respond to this book of Revelation? We read it, we believe it, and we obey it. That's what we do. Look at verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. So we must read this book. Now, we're a Bible-oriented church. I mean, we're not called a Bible church. We're a Baptist church, but we're not called a Baptist church either, right? We're Redeemer Fellowship, but we are about that Bible. We love the Bible. We read the Bible. We encourage reading it, memorizing it, studying it, and all of that. But apply this to this particular book. We need to read the book of Revelation. And what we're told here is to read it aloud, right? Blessed are those who read aloud the words of this prophecy, which means that Scripture and even Revelation is given to us to experience, at least in part, in the context of community. Especially in the local assembly of the church when we gather together, it is supposed to be read aloud. The Scripture is never only for you. It is for everyone, and it's designed to be received by you and then shared with others. We read it aloud, especially in the context of corporate worship. If you're visiting Redeemer and you normally go to a different church, or maybe you're passing through town or something, we're glad that you're here. I hope you've noticed that we try to read Scripture throughout our service because we really do believe that the revelation of God is what he uses to sanctify and to transform his people. Make sure that you're a part of a church that reads the Word of God aloud. So this reading aloud happens in church. It can happen at your home, family worship, exhorting brothers and sisters. but we're also supposed to listen to it then, right? I mean, it's sort of, it says it. It could just be implied by reading aloud, but then it also says, blessed are those who hear it, right? So you've got to listen to it. And yes, you can listen to it in the context of church, but you've got podcasts and you've got audio Bibles. I love audio Bibles. I'm not a big fan of audio books because I don't drive long enough periods of time to really get like a couple of chapters in. But I love the audio Bible because I can pop it in my ears and I can actually track along as it's being read, or I can use it for those periods of time where I have like 5 or 10 minutes and I can't actively open a book. But hearing the Word of God is an important spiritual discipline. And we're in a better place than any other generation because we have it all for free. I mean, if you have access to the internet, you can listen to the Bible for free in just about any translation imaginable. I really, really like the Streetlights audio Bible. It's one of my favorite audio Bibles to get. You can listen to that online for free, Streetlights. ESV, of course, you go to the ESV website or get their app and it's free, and then you can listen to the Word of God. There's like apps like the Dwell Bible app, all kinds of apps that we have access to just take it in and to hear it. But the idea here in hearing the Word of God is receiving it. And so it's not just audibly taking it in, but it's receiving it for yourself. So this would even include reading it for your own personal study time. We read it, we believe it, and we keep it. Blessed are those who keep it, which means to obey it. Right? If you believe it, you keep it. Right? These go together. Which means that the book of Revelation is incredibly, obviously practical. We know it's important because it's the Word of God and it's the last book. Kind of important. Remember that last book in the Harry Potter series? Very important. You can't finish the story without it. How much more important is the last book in the canon here? We read it. We believe it. We know it's important, but it's practical. It's designed to guide us through the years in which we live. It's not designed to guide hypothetical people who might live in the future. It is designed for you in your life. And don't miss really what's being said in this verse, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads and believes and keeps these words. Blessed. You know what it means to be blessed, right? It means to receive the favor of God, the kindness of God, the gift of God, the help of God, the strength and the power of God. I know. You're already blessed. I'm already blessed by the Lord. He's forgiven me of my sins. He's reconciled me to God. He's given me the Holy Spirit. He's given me his word. And then every other worldly gift on top of it, I am richly blessed. The problem is you are never full up on your need for grace. You always need more. You need more of God's grace. Now, his favor or his grace is secure in your life. You're not going to run out of God's favor. But there is additional favor or strength or help or assistance that comes to you when you take in the Word of God as you read and seek to understand and respond to the book of Revelation. You need grace to persevere. It comes through a variety of streams. Blessed is the one who hears and obeys what is in this book. And this is true for all scripture, of course, right? In fact, go back to Psalm 119. The biggest, baddest psalm in the Psalter. Psalm 119, the first two verses. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with their whole heart. God uses his word in the book of Revelation, right, to sanctify us, to strengthen us, to enlighten us, to compel us. So what kind of damage are we actually doing to our lives when we neglect this book, this final chapter of our Bibles? What What are we missing out on? How much farther along might we be? Maybe we would be more prepared for a year like 2020 had we taken time to give ourselves to the reading of Scripture and maybe this book in particular. We can't afford to avoid it. Not now. Revelation is less about future events. It is more about present activity, need, danger, and glory. Yes, it looks ahead. We're going to be looking ahead too. But it is relevant and necessary for you today. So let's take this to heart together. I want us to be reading the revelation of Jesus Christ weekly, throughout the week. Listen to it. Try different translations if you like. Give yourself an opportunity to meditate on what this book actually tells us about Jesus and about us as his people. Because as we go through this, here's what you're going to see. The book of Revelation gives us a picture of Jesus and his people in victory over the world and the devil. And it's a victory that we have now, even in the midst of tribulation. So the book of Revelation, it was given to you that you might know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're asking you to teach us wherever we are ignorant, Lord, and we are all ignorant in some ways. We just don't know. We don't even know what we don't know. Lord, help us if we have preconceived ideas that need to be taken down. Would you show us what those are? Wherever we need to repent, Lord, we trust that you by your Spirit and your word will show us our sin. Lord, we want to be a people who do know your Son and follow him and bring glory to him. Lord, we want to be a people who don't just persevere through this world for ourselves. We want to bring glory to Christ and we want to bring salvation to others. So God, use us as we study and persevere together. In Jesus' name, amen.